What's going on, boys and girls? My name is Steve. This is Freight Broker Live. It's been a good day. Good day so far. I'm gonna wait till we get some views. Oh God, what? Someone must have been sitting in my chair. It's not comfortable. So, you may hear music playing. So before I get started, I'll say why I left it playing. I'll turn it up a little bit so you can hear this crap. So this is like techno stuff. It's not my thing, but you see? But the funny part about it is, it came on YouTube this morning when I was doing my normal YouTube crap that I do before I started working. I tell you what, I rocked out to this music. It's not what I listen to normally, but I rocked out to this music this morning, and I had a very productive day, and so I can only attribute it to this, and I don't know why it was showing up. I'm going to mute it now. Whoop, there, now it's muted, but because I don't listen to that kind of music at all. I listen to like metal and stuff. All right, without further ado, well, so I'll talk about Ireland first, and then I'll talk about the trip. Well, and then I'll, you heard that, right? That's how heavy this big medal is that I won. At any rate, so we flew out. We went to Ireland because I competed in world powerlifting, blah, blah, blah. And I did well. I beat my record, took a new state record here in Florida, even though we were in Ireland. And then I grabbed this big thing. It's super heavy, but that's a silver medal for the World Powerlifting Championships held in Limerick, Ireland. So I'm super stoked about that. But I'll be honest, I missed work. And the rest of the trip on Ireland, besides all the seeing the cool sights and all that, it sucked. The food sucks really bad. No offense to anyone that is from Ireland that watches this, if anyone does. But the food was not very good over there. Actually, I couldn't eat anything, so it sucked. But I did get a silver medal in a world competition, and I have to put a new like pin thing because it's too happy or too heavy, and so it fell. But yeah, pretty cool, huh? All right, so without further ado, for all those who do not know who I am, my name is Steve. I host this daily show called Freight Broker Live, where I talk about all things freight. So I just talk about things from the perspective of mine, which is a freight broker. Bear with me a second. So I talk current news. I talk events. I talk about industry crap. I talk about a bunch of stuff, but from our perspective, because a lot of people don't know, you know, that you hear it from drivers or you hear it from industry people that don't really work in the industry. So that's it. So Craig, again, for the powerlifting competition, I placed second and got a silver medal, for my weight class and broke another state record here in Florida. So I could just add that to all my awesome other shit anyway, but I don't have an intro and I don't have any, fancy stuff. So I'm only going to talk about some of the news. Now, granted, I didn't do anything when I was gone work wise or, you know, articles, as you saw, there was nothing going on at all. Just because my wife was with me, she would have flipped out. So I'm going to talk about a couple of things. C.H. Robinson. Everybody's talked about C.H. Robinson. I think they lost close to $1 billion from last year. And their profit margins, this was the big thing, is because they're like, how does a company lose so much money and take a huge loss while still their margin goes up as a broker? And I couldn't tell you. I could tell you I don't make 15% on the regular. And they went up from 15.36% to 15.4%. While they lost a bunch of money because they had to slash rates, and so it decreased the total revenue for their company. So there's been a bunch of articles written on it, so I'm not going to go too much. I did talk today about Convoy and wrote a quick little article on it on our site, which is freightbrokerlive.com. If you haven't been over there, go check that out. But I wrote about Convoy today and how they, I guess just today, released this new direct from shipper loads, which is kind of funny if you think about it, because it's not actually direct from the shipper. It's still going through a third party marketplace. There's still, it's still, the rate's still going to get stepped on no matter what. I don't know what kind of rate they're putting on it. But it's, I guess it's cool. It's going to add a lot of capacity to their software. So if you don't know who Convoy is, Convoy is a digital broker. Think Uber, except not Uber. So they are essentially freight brokers. And I don't know about the level of tech, so I don't know if it's actually automating anything. Because a lot of stuff, from what I'm beginning to understand, a lot of the automated procedures and everything that people say they have, it's not really that way. It's people in the background pretending that it's their computers. But I don't know if that's really how they're doing it. But what they, I'll answer the questions in a little bit. I'm just going to talk. But what they've essentially done is their argument is that brokers are only able to cover 10% of the freight that each customer has. Meaning, because, and which is probably too, time constraints and all that stuff. A broker's not going to be able to cover 100% of their customer's freight. And the brokers that do have huge overheads. They have a lot of employees. They have a lot of different resources that little independent guys like me can't do. And apparently Convoy as well. So what they were saying is they're only covering 10% of their customers' freight. And to eliminate the need for that customer to go work with other brokers or work with direct shippers or work with whoever, they've decided to, and I'm guessing it started from their release of their free TMS system, their shipper TMS that they released last month. I think it was October 9th. They had a press release about it. Where they basically said, hey, here's the solution where you could choose either Convoy or you could choose other people. And it's kind of funny, because it gives a perception to the shipper that you're actually getting bids from other people when everything's still touching Convoy's hands. You know what I mean? I don't know if the new software, I can't imagine it is, because Convoy would take a risk. But does the new software, from a couple of the articles I read, let me backtrack a little bit. In the articles that I read today about Convoy's new offering, the one thing that was missing was payment. There was one article that said that, you know, carriers will get set up with the shippers directly, they'll do everything, and then they'll work out payment stuff myself. But then they said they're able to utilize Convoy's platform for tracking and app and all that stuff, which I don't believe they would. I don't think Convoy would do that for free as a service offering for anybody, because what's the benefit of doing it? You don't do something for free. So what I'm guessing is that they have a back end to the shipper saying, hey, like $25, you can use our marketplace or something like that. It's going to do two things. One, it's going to increase their market share, because they're going to have a lot more loads. You know what I mean? There was just an article that was released by some supply chain magazine or whatever it was today that said Convoy is not doing well. Carriers don't like working with them, just like they don't like working with anybody else because of the rates that are lower, which is ironic, because the carriers that do use them and do speak highly of them are happy with it. They know they're getting a lower rate than if they were actually going to search for loads on boards and all that, but they're doing it because it's just easy. It's a convenience to do. And that's just, it is what it is there. I don't know what to think about the Convoy's marketplace, really. I think it's good. You know, it's like you guys all know, the people that watch my show regularly, that's the future of freight. A digital marketplace, you know, whether it's Truck Stop, whether it's DAT, whether it's a third party company, a digital marketplace is going to be out there in 10 years or however long it takes before it becomes mainstream, where carriers, instead of going to go to a load board and going to call and say, hey, listen, tell me about this load, blah, blah, blah. It's all going to be cut out, and it's all going to be done automatically through a TMS system. Or that's the way I feel. I'm still going to have a job as a salesperson, a broker, you know, freight broker, because there's going to be a computer can't talk to someone and establish a relationship like I can, or ever. You know what I mean? Until, you know, maybe down the line someday, but I don't have to worry about that. But the thing, and I kind of left it out of that article, my speculation on it. I think Convoy is doing that. One, they're still getting paid. So it's not, no matter what they say, it's not really direct to a shipper, because the shippers are posting their loads through this system. Yes. Carriers aren't going to be able to back solicit that customer, because I guarantee that the brokerage contract that they have in the terms of use is going to say, hey, listen, that customer is still a Convoy customer. So now if you want to work with that customer directly, you have to do it through the Convoy platform. Therefore, Convoy is always going to be making money, whether it's from data sales or whatever they do. But it's still brilliant. You know, it's just, it's going to increase their loads. They're saying now that they'll have 90% more loads because they're getting out that 90% that are left. Plus, they're going to end up attracting carriers that don't know any better and say, oh, direct customer freight, let's get it from there. There's another one, the Right Load. They do the same kind of thing, you know, where they're effectively a broker. They're going out and soliciting business, and then they're just setting up everyone direct. It's the same thing. That, I know that guy's trying pretty hard to plug his software. So there you go. Free advertising right there. Matt, I think his name is Matt. But it is what it is. That's the future of freight. Everyone's going to have to use it. I think Convoy is just trying to reach out and figure out a way so they can drum up some more business. And it's the same thing with everybody else. See what some of these conversations are. Comments. There we go. I showed the metal, so that's good. Fran said, lazy streamer. Yeah, well, I was out of the country. Craig said, how do you do? I told you. Katya said, congratulations, Silver. Don said, welcome home. Congrats. Thanks, bud. Craig, the weight was 628 pounds. God. And I wonder, I'll post it on my site later. I'll post it on the Freight Broker Live site. The lift, because it was painful. It did not go up smooth. I jumped up a weight class. I went up to 140 kilos, so I didn't have to cut weight. And I pulled 628 before. That's what all the other state records were. But because I went up a weight class, I broke that state record because before it was 622. But the guy who got gold was a Canadian guy, Canadian fella. And he had like an 800-pound deadlift. I think it was like 804 pounds, so he kicked my butt. I'm glad the only thing I was doing was deadlifting there because I would have got demolished. These guys were all freaks of nature and very strong. And no, he pulled conventional. There were a couple that did sumo, but the majority of the big lifts were all conventional. Right Lane said he likes Convoy. Their detention sucks, but at least you don't have to fight with them. That's true. A lot of people, I think Uber is like that too, where it's just a straight 75% or $75 after 2 hours. And I think that's the one thing that, if a marketplace can build in a detention system that works, whether it's, you know, 75 bucks, 2 hours, whatever, if they could figure that out, then they'll take over, especially if you can integrate parking. Can you imagine if you know, a company like hypothetical, I'm going to go into a hypothetical again. So, you know, just tune back in 2 minutes if you don't want to hear it. But, you know, the one I did before and I wrote the article on it is imagine if they, you know, automated a marketplace. Now take that one step further. It said, okay, here's a marketplace that's built into a load board. We already have the capacity. We've tied into the ELDs. Everything's integrated. And then imagine they go out and buy Love's truck stop, you know, all the big truck stops and then do, you know, you pull a load for them. You get a free parking space or something. I don't know. That's far-fetched. It probably will never happen, but whatever. It's just, I think when they figure out that marketplace, it's going to do so much for so many people that it's going to be so beneficial. But that's neither here nor there. Martin said it is what it is for sure. Ezekiel said, can you be a broker online remote job? For example, I live in Colombia and work as an independent broker. Yeah, you can. You got some issues to, you know, go about that. But yeah, you can. Victor said, welcome back. Blah, blah, blah. George said, congrats. Thanks, bud. Ezekiel said, dude, whenever I deadlift, I always injure my back. Yeah. You said, what is going on? My phone is like beeping crazy in my pocket. On my wrist. I don't understand it. All right. So these are questions about that. Right Lane said, Amazon is working on that idea currently. Yeah, with the truck stops, right? Yeah. I've heard some. And, you know, I like to say first, I got to turn this up so I can hear it. But
Amazon.
The dreaded Amazon. Remember last week I said, you know, they're going to start doing their package delivery crap. And then the article broke when I left. And apparently Amazon's already been offering that on a small scale. Remember I said there's probably a chance they were already beta testing it out with their delivery vehicles, where I guess it's $3 a package, up from $3 to $10 per package, depending on where it's going. Amazon for select business customers will handle their package shipping, meaning that they'll pick up from the customer and deliver it to an end zone location. I said that they were going to do that. And then the article that I saw a couple articles on it last week, but it was not as widely, reported as I thought it would be. But I said they're going to do that. And so I just would like to say, even though I didn't write an article on it, but I've said it in the videos and these are timestamped, I said that Amazon was going to do that. I mean, think about it. It's a next logical step for their delivery service, the final mile, last mile, whatever you want to call it. the end user e-commerce stuff. They already have the capacity. They already have the routes. They already have the coverage. So now why don't they just say, okay, you know what? We don't need to buy FedEx or UPS or any of that stuff. Instead, let's just create our own. And once they actually do it, it's going to be a big thing. It's going to be a really big thing for everybody. But, you know, I said they're going to do it. And then with the day cab stuff, I don't know, because there's been a bunch of speculation that I've seen online. Because like I said, I troll online, so I read other people's posts, I read comments, I read all that stuff all the time. I've seen where Amazon day cabs have been seen actually at loading docks and loading facilities, but none of the drivers have actually gone out and said anything about it or asked or said, hey, listen, do you work for Amazon? Or nobody's gotten that information, and Amazon is being so tight-lipped about why they're stockpiling those types of vehicles, so who knows? But whatever. It is what it is. I'm not threatened by Amazon. Not yet. Give it a couple of years. But I'm not threatened by them. Because no matter what kind of tech is out there, I just think it's going to make my job easier as a freight broker. As a broker day to day, it's going to make my job easier. So why would I harp on it too much? Because they'll never be able to go after customers. Because just like you have brokers and carriers and shippers that are, or brokers and carriers that are afraid of change and afraid of tech and afraid of evolving, the same thing happens when it comes to shippers. Some don't like to do it. Some are content using a carrier or a broker they've used for years and years, even though you could show them a significant cost savings, just because they don't want to switch to somebody else. And that happens a lot. You hear it a lot, especially if you're on the sales side of things. Craig said, where's a good paying freight? I don't know. I've been out of it for a week. I know I had a bunch of loads that I moved today, like I said, but I think it was really because of listening to the stupid-ass music that I was listening to. I think it just motivated me. I don't know. I can't explain it. I had a load from Quebec that I moved 211 miles. You guys want to know how much I paid for a 211? It had to go on an RGN. It was legal, non-oversized. It was just tall. Cross-border stuff. Figured I'd get it for relatively cheap. I ended up covering that sucker for $1,800 a mile. Could not get anybody else at all. And my customer needed to move it. So $1,800, $9 a mile. I billed $150 profit. And the way I work with this customer is I tell him what it's going to cost me, and then this is how much I'm putting on. And then he'll either say, oh, you're making too much money, or you're not making enough. And I've had him say, you're not making enough. So that's a really good relationship with the customer. And I actually, if you watch videos, it's probably like 100 videos back, that customer called and said, listen, if you try to take more than what you say, I'm going to put you out of business, or whatever like lame ass threat he said he was going to do. And I was like, well, I'm not working with that guy. You know, that's a customer you don't need to work with. Well, guess what? I'll work with him. And I did. And I've moved a lot of freight and I made a lot of money off him. So that's the good thing. But here's another problem. So the carrier that I booked on that cross-border load, it's a carrier that everyone complains about. Can you guess what it is? It's an 8-letter word. So I booked them on it. I sent them the Raycon. I said I need driver information, the truck number and all that. Being that I used to be an agent with that same company, I'm like, okay, I'm going to make sure I do my due diligence because I know there's so much double brokering and all that crap going on. So I said I need all this stuff. He's like, I'll get it as soon as I get that Raycon. There you go, Nate. And I sent him the Raycon without all the addresses, just a generic Raycon saying, okay, here's the pickup city and state, here's the delivery city and state, here's the days and times and the rate and all that stuff that we agreed. You would think that's fine. I've had to call him 6 times now to get the actual Raycon, to get it signed back with the driver information, because I said I'm not sending him the addresses until I get the driver information. He's like, yeah, I'll send it. Yeah, I'll send it. Then he called me right before I made the video and said he needs the addresses. And I said, I'll do that as soon as you send me all the information back so I have the driver information. Because that effectively is what you do to curb the double brokerage thing. The best you can. You get a truck number. If you were ever an agent with this particular company, you know that the truck numbers are typically 5 digits. So you can look. And then also you have the driver phone number. You call him and say, who do you drive for? If he says a different company, then you know it's bullshit. So, Yeah, it is what it is. So when I get off the phone now, I got to call and just be up front with the guy and be like, listen, are you screwing me out? Are you trying to find somebody else to do it? I should look and see if the load's posted, but I don't really care that much. You know, the customer is good. It's not. He agreed to pay what he paid, this customer. And then he said, oh, we have a week. And yes, he did, Ben. He did. But it is what it is. What can you do, right? So, all right. Anyway, Ezekiel said, freight rates go up and down depending on the season and world economy. Just hang tight to maintain your operational costs during the shit season, which is true. I mean, that's common knowledge for anyone that's been in the industry, you would think. So I posted this out to a couple of other groups. So I'm gonna speak on something I don't normally speak on. So, and this is gonna be annoying to some of you, I think. So ELDs, everyone knows how I feel about tech. Yeah, I'm a big believer in technology. Now, recently, there's been a petition circling around the interweb, the Facebook and social media sites, about a petition to shut down ELDs, to shut down the mandate, pause it temporarily, suspend it, whatever you got to do, just to get rid of it, because now it's been, you know, there's a new NHTV, I think, report that was put out that said, you know, two drivers are now dying every single day. And the only reason that could be attributed to are ELDs, because now they're forced to rush in between times because they're essentially being kept honest. I guess I agree with it. As much as I hate to say that, because I'm a believer of tech and I'm a believer of all that stuff, the ELDs are not working. They're not doing what everyone wanted them to do. The purpose was to keep people honest, like I say a million times. Hours of service need some change, and I understand that. But they are what they are. You could either follow them or you don't have to. It's whatever it is. But I think right now, trucking is as bad as it is. No matter which way you look at it, trucking is bad right now. You know, freight rates are not coming up. Now it's forecasted that they're not going to come back up. Which is not looking good either. They should be up by now. It's November. Rates are still low. Think about where they were last year when, you know, I was still in trucking. A bunch of you guys were still in trucking to where they are now. And it's only going to get bad because the rates are still going to go low again in February and March. And so if there's not a big push and the rates come high, they're going to go low. So you got drivers trying to cram in the mileage and doing all that to make as much money as they can for the holidays when they're barely keeping afloat now. Imagine all the extra expenses that they have as drivers as the holidays are approaching. I'll be honest. I didn't sign the petition. And the only reason I didn't sign the petition is while I agree with what the petition was doing, the person that's behind the petition, I disagree with 100%. I'm not a big fan of people that rip people off, especially the people they're sworn to protect. And so I didn't sign it for that reason. But if you guys are out there and you, I don't know what the right, it's just ELDs. Granted, I understand the benefit of it. I understand why they did it. It's just not working at this point. It's not, the whole purpose was to keep people honest. Hours of service need to be changed. But at the same time, the ELDs aren't the reason why hours are what they are. The ELDs are there to enforce the hours that were already there in place. You know what I mean? So essentially all the people that are like, oh, I lost my trucking company when ELDs came into effect. Well, that's because you are doing something wrong. Now, as you guys have watched in my previous video, so have I. I'm the guy that ran to Florida and back from Jersey four times in a week in 8 days, you know, and running three sets of logs. You got to do what you got to do when you have to do it. But as far as the ELD, with rates being as bad, it sucks, but with rates being as bad as they are, I agree with the petition. They need to get rid of the ELD mandate and figure out something new from there and work on it, because it affects me as a broker too. When I have a customer that calls and says, hey, listen, I got a load, can you deliver this day? No, I can't, because I'm not going to be able to legally require a carrier to run that far in that amount of time. I've lost loads from carriers because they say, listen, I need you to, you know, put the delivery date as this date. I'm like, listen, you're a solo driver. I can't legally do it. You can deliver early, but I can't have it on the Raycon. And they won't do it because they've been told that 100 times by brokers who are just like, yeah, sure, yeah. Yeah, I'll put it on the Raycon, and then they get there and there's no detention or something like that. So the carrier has to do it to protect themselves, but at the same time, me as a broker, I can't say, oh yeah, you could drive 1,400 miles in 24 hours, or, you know, 2 days. You know, legally, you can't. There's no way I could do it, because then if something happens, then our company could be held accountable because I said, hey, you're going to drive an unrealistic amount of hours, or, you know, drive an unrealistic amount of mileage in a certain day. Before, I used to do whatever you had to do to make a delivery on time. You know what I mean? I know on Thursdays, if I didn't have enough money and I didn't make enough money by like Wednesday for the week, Wednesday night, I ran my ass off Thursday and Friday, sometimes even Saturday, to make sure that all my trucks were generating enough of money. You're limited by doing that now. You can't do it. And I was thinking earlier to myself, I'm like, I wonder if there's a way to curb it. Like, so you think about these guys, if you were to build an elaborate drop trailer system throughout the United States, would that, and then you're running everyone under 150 nautical miles, whatever the hell it is, and they, so they don't have to run ELDs and they can run a little bit longer. Is there a way to get away with it? And I'm like, that's the stupidest thing I ever thought of. You know, granted, I was tired because it would cost so much to keep all those terminals and drop stations and all that stuff open. It would just be crazy. More team drivers. Yeah, but remember, we're in the midst of a driver shortage. So how are we going to get team drivers? But I'm not going in the driver shortage today. But so at any rate, if you guys see that ELD suspension petition going around, go ahead and sign it. It makes me, I'm a very principled person. So whether or not I agree with something, I don't agree with the person that's behind it. And I think that the more signatures you have on something like that are, it just gives that person more of a podium to then eventually, undoubtedly rip people off. Like it's happened in the past. So myself, I'm not going to sign anything like that, for that reason, as much as I agree with it, but I made a video, said I agree with it. There's my contribution. So if you guys are watching this later on replay, you could find that somewhere online. I'm not going to link to it or anything like that, but it's going around. It's a real petition that had, when I looked at it this morning, I think I had 30,000 of 100,000 signatures. And is it going to change anything? Probably not, because you got all the big companies that all want it anyway. So the little independent guys that are saying, oh, you know, screw ELDs and all that stuff, it's not going to work. But it's worth, you're going to get a response if you have it. And they're just going to say, sorry, well, we understand, we can't do anything about it. But, which is kind of sad, but it is what it is. All right. So I'll get to some of these questions here in a second. I wanted to talk about a couple of things. So as you guys may have seen on a bunch of different sites today, an Ohio truck driver was ordered off the road after a double fatal crash and drug test failures. So this bozo, I wish I was using the other software so I could show you his picture, but Gregory Allen Bernhardt was a, from what I could see from when I looked up the accident, you know, it just said he was a Class A CDL holder. It didn't show what kind of truck. It didn't say anything about his vehicle, but it said he was driving a commercial vehicle when he, you know, dozed off or whatever. He was a junkie, so he probably nodded off, and he went across the way and hit a van head on. But it didn't say anything about the truck, and every article I read did not say anything about the truck, so it made me kind of curious, so I started looking. Turns out he was in an unmarked hotshot truck. From what I could see, it was a red Chevy dually and pulling a gooseneck trailer. It said he was under dispatch because he was in the accident, and then his employer directed him to submit a post-accident drug test, which is mandated, and he just didn't do it. He never showed up, so he was fired by that company. Again, but it wouldn't say the company, it wouldn't say what kind of truck or anything, which I thought was all kind of weird, because normally sites are pretty quick to put that kind of stuff out there, which is good, because if someone's hiring someone that has a bunch of, you know, crap, you want to know about it. But then, not even 2 weeks later, this guy was driving a non-commercial vehicle when he apparently, again, nodded off, flipped the vehicle, and, you know, was ejected from the truck and or whatever vehicle it was, and then he had a passenger as well that was ejected, and they did cite him with an OUI, whatever, operating under the influence for that one. So the FMCSA finally stepped in, because they're trying to be the good guys all the time, and they stepped in and said, all right, this guy's no longer allowed to drive a commercial vehicle because he is a scumbag, and that he is. There's no other way around it. It shouldn't have been behind a commercial vehicle in the first place. But I guess one of the reasons why I decided to bring that up is it's reasons like that why they're going to do the drug testing, whatever, clearinghouse that they're going to do. It's reasons like that why they need to do it. Because this guy has been arrested 14 times. He's had DUIs. He's had all this thing. And he was still able to be hired by somebody else. You know what I mean? Whether or not they did everything by the book, or whether or not this guy, you know, said anything that they did, you know, it is what it is. No one's going to know, really, especially when they won't even say who the damn company is. But it happens all the time. You know, it's pretty sad. But that's one of the reasons why the drug consortiums and or drug clearinghouses and all that need to be out there. They do. Because you have too many people, too many of the small owner-operators that don't know how to effectively run a business and do it the right way, the one, two truck people, or they hire people that just don't know anything about trucking. And then they come in and they're in charge of trucks and they're in charge of hiring and they're in charge of leasing on people and they don't know how to do it. You know, that's why all this stuff happens. All right, let's read some of these other questions, and then actually we'll talk about automation real quick, because I only have one quick article, and it has to do with trucks, but that's why they did it. So, true driverless cars have arrived from Waymo, the self-driving unit of Alphabet, which is Google. But the company's chief executive officer says robot ride-hailing may not be the first form of automotive autonomy to take off commercially. And then they're saying this Waymo CEO believes driverless trucking is catching on faster than taxis. And it is. It absolutely is. Do you know why it's catching on? Because people like me and other people that make these videos and these articles and everybody is so worried about it. And you know, with this perceived driver shortage, let's go spend an extra $100,000 on a truck because we'll ultimately save money in the long run, right? I just thought it was an interesting article. I didn't realize that they were testing these self-driving shuttles. I think I saw a couple of videos once before, but apparently they've been testing these for quite a while in Chandler, Arizona, and they've been successful with it. So if they can pick up people and drop people off, then how can they possibly not figure out instead of having a 2,000-pound vehicle that's doing it, instead 80,000 pounds of freight running down the highway when you have people like the driver I just mentioned who fall asleep and crash your trucks into unsuspecting people. But it's, you know, technology, right? Kind of out there today in my conversation, but whatever. All right, let's read some of these comments. I think that was all I had for the news. Because like I said, a lot of this stuff was already covered in detail for the week, and so I don't like reporting on stuff that you guys have already read about 5,000 times, which is why I'm not doing it. But so now is the question and answer time. So starting next week on Monday, every single day I will have the phone number up. It'll be a live broadcast. You'll be able to call in, get on the air and talk. I'm not going to do these conversations late at night or the videos and all that. It'll be at the same time, 2:00. I may do one later on in the week. I just don't know what day because I have a new group training starting next week for 2 weeks. So I'm going to be fairly busy in the evenings. But I'll still make my videos during the day and then I'll do, this. I'll give some updates. So anyone who's out there that, as long as you're not an agent of mine, because I ended up getting this deal and then they wouldn't give it to me personally, which is stupid because I have now 15 lines, but I am a RingCentral reseller. So if you don't know who RingCentral is, it's an IP phone system meant for businesses. So if you're out there looking to become a truck driver or starting your own company and you're thinking that you're going to expand eventually and you just don't want to use your cell phone, later tonight, you'll have to check back later, but if you go to freightbrokerlive.com and you click on the partners tab, there's a RingCentral link. Now the picture is there, but the rest of it isn't there yet. But if you go to freightbrokerlive.com and click on the partners tab, you will see a RingCentral link. Once you click on that link, I'm going to have a deal that's exclusive only to people that are listeners or followers of Freight Broker Live, which will be, you can get a phone system, the same freaking, and it pisses me off because it gave me such a better deal than what I currently have. And I'm under contract, so I can't change it. But you get the RingCentral phone, the actual phone, for free. And then you get the service for $19 a month. So, and again, that is substantially cheaper than what I pay. And once they gave me the deal to offer out to everybody else, I said, all right, I'll end my contract and just, you know, switch everything over. And they said, oh, no, you can't do that. So, but I will have the link up there. And, oh, here's the best part. Here's the best part. If you sign up now, you don't have to pay anything until after the 1st of January. So that's a good part. I will have the sign up at some point tonight, maybe tomorrow morning, on my site. So just keep checking the partners tab on freightbrokerlive.com. And you'll see the RingCentral logo. Click on that. I'll have all the information up there, a bunch of phone, you know, specs about the service. If you have a big company, if any of you guys, like the big guys that I know watch these videos undercover and don't really comment, but are either working for big companies or own very large companies, if you guys want a better phone system, contact me, because I am a reseller. I'm not going to go and set up the phone system. I'm too damn busy. But I did get a good deal and that I could pass on to you guys. So if you're paying over $20 a month for your phone system, then you're losing money. All right. But at any rate, that's there. All right. So let's answer some of these questions. Ezekiel said, shippers really only using independent brokers when they have, when they need, I don't know what the hell you're saying. Ezekiel said, shippers really only using independent, let me try to go. Independent brokers, when they need ship moved ASAP, you really have to go build relationships for consistent loads, go to a conference in a suit and pass out business cards. That is not true, sir. But you do have to build relationships, but that's not when they use independent brokers. that's not the truth. You have to build as part of a sales prospecting job and as being a salesperson in the freight industry. Yes, you need to be able to sell your service. You need to be able to do a good job. You need to be able to have the resources to accommodate that. But I know plenty of people that don't have the backing of a big broker. So I'm not including myself in this because I have the backing of a large company. But I know quite a few little companies that are out there being very, very successful in their little independent people. They're not the spot market that you talk about isn't what brokers are typically working all the time. Most of the large brokers all have dedicated accounts. They have customers that are working primarily through them. We use RFPs and those kind of things to get that business. Same way a carrier would. You know, a one truck carrier isn't going to be able to handle the kind of freight that a 10 truck carrier could. You know what I mean? So what's the next best step? Either add more trucks or become a broker. You know, and then that's how I did it. You know, I had trucks and I did all that and I was doing well. And then I realized there's no overhead at all for being a broker. So why am I going to keep buying trucks, hiring drivers, firing drivers, drug testing people, dealing with insurance issues when I could just become a broker, still be involved in freight, still treat carriers the way that I think they should be treated because I was a carrier and be able to cover a lot more freight. So that's what I did. But you do need to build really strong relationships with them. But customers are using, I've been way more successful going to someone and saying, hey, listen, I'm independent. So I only make money when I do a good job. That works quite a bit. I don't have a big fancy salary I draw off of me just saying I'm an independent broker. Typically, I can get more, it happened today. I took a load from TQL. Me, my little independent self, took a load from a big mega broker. That happens all the time. I didn't know my customer worked with TQL. And you know how I found out? TQL called me and said, hey, you're offering this rate, blah, blah, blah. Carrie just said he wants it. Would you work with us and give me the load? I said, fuck no, I won't do it. And I booked it with the carrier directly. So that happens a lot. All right, what's this? Ben said, what's your advice in building your own brokerage? Currently building a small trucking company and eventually will go into brokerage for overflow freight from my customers. See, that's the first step. That's what I'm talking about. I already have a brokerage authority, but only use it if I need to repower one of our loads. Should we have a breakdown? What are some things that I should be doing to prepare my own brokerage in the next 3 to 5 years? Well, just keep doing that. Keep, you know, using it as overflow freight. You know, just build up your trucking side while you can, especially if you have direct customers, you're going to be, you know, making plenty of money. As long as you know what you're doing. I wouldn't wait too long because I think in 3 to 5 years, the way we book freight now is going to be changed. We're not going to be doing it the same way. We're going to be using tech. We're going to be using all that. Drivers are not going to be booking freight the same way either. You're going to be using tech and apps and this and that and voice dialers. You see the new truck stop commercial where they're like, yeah, I would like a load going here. And the computer's like, I have found your load from this point. Or actually here, I have found your load from this point to this point. You know, that's granted. Do I think that kind of shit's going to happen? No, because I know if I was a driver, you know, I barely can get Alexa to work properly. So how the heck am I going to get, a load booked and all that stuff that way? But that's the way the company wants to go. That's the way tech wants to evolve. Think about everything tech. How it just keeps evolving. Logistics hasn't. The international side and forwarding and all that stuff, it has. And it's been working and it's been growing. And the companies that have been on the forefront of that, like Freightos and all that stuff, they are making so much damn money because of that. So that's just what it is. But yeah, just keep building it, building up your company. That's what I would say. Keep getting direct customers. Keep, you know, building it up and move freight through it. Don't let it sit dormant. Try to get credit, you know, established with it and all that stuff. You know, if you could avoid setting up factorings, don't set up factoring. You know, especially if you're only using it for repowering and stuff like that, that's fine. You know, just don't double broker either. So if you're repowering a load and you're under a load for a, from a broker, tell the broker. Say, listen, do you care if I do this? Get it in writing too, so they don't, you know, screw you over on that. But those are, and have a good online presence and all that stuff. That's all very important to do it. France, a job killing regulations. Steve said, Ezekiel, I burned all my suits when I came and became a freight broker. Yeah. Right Lane said, I, everyone obeyed that HOS rates would be higher. Not really. Rates are low right now because of an abundance of capacity. Everyone says we got this big driver shortage. We have, you know, if we have too many damn trucks on the road, we've got everybody and their brother still going out and starting new trucking companies. Look on these groups on Facebook. All day long, you hear people all day long saying, hey, I want to get into trucking. How do I get into it? How much money do I need? Oh, I want to be a broker. How do I do it? How can I get involved in this? And we have freight rates at an all-time low, and people say that all the time. You know, is now a good time to get into freight? Technically, no. I say, yeah, it is. Just join the party. I don't care. Because eventually, and this is not a really good way to think of it, about it, but I'm a sales guy. So if another broker comes into the fray and he doesn't know what he's doing, he's able to get a big account, but he can't handle the big account, that customer is going to be more apt to work with a company that has a bigger reach next time than work with someone that screws up. Same thing with trucking companies. You have trucking companies that are going after shippers and they constantly don't show up because they don't have the capacity to do it. They're going to go with a trucking company that has the capacity, the bigger trucking company. Think about it. That's how it works. You know, I don't know who this is. I forgot to take down my loads. So I'm going to do that real quick. But, I mean, think about it. That's the way the industry is. That's just how it is. Bear with me, guys. I forgot to take down all these loads. There. So now they're deleted. But that's the truth of the matter. We have an abundance of freight, or we don't have an abundance of freight right now. We have an abundance of capacity, which is driving and keeping rates low. And I think they're going to keep going lower. If you look at all the big trucking companies, they're all taking hits, and they're taking revenue hits while margins are staying relative. They're relatively the same as they were last year because they're making less money. Yeah. Because rates aren't paying the same thing. You look at big companies like USA Truck and all those, they're switching out to start covering the stock or the spot market and all that stuff too. Pam was on Freight Waves the other day. Awesome interview, by the way. I've never met that guy, but I like everything he's done with that company, Pam. But he was on there talking about how with the GM strikes and all this stuff, they had to, one, cater to the drivers that they had to assure the drivers that, hey, you still have a job. So they went out and they got, you know, hit the spot market stuff, hit the load boards, hit direct customers, built up a healthier customer base. You know, the companies that are going out right now, including brokers, because brokers are going out, you just don't hear about them, especially the smaller guys. The reason why they're going out is because they're relying everything on one customer, you know? So I have a good handful of customers that I work. So I have days like today where I make like $400 or $500. I'm not making that much money. And then I have days where I'm making, you know, several thousand dollars a day. If I'm to lose a big customer, I'm still going to be making money. Maybe not as much, but I'm still going to be making money. Or if a customer can't move and I can't make as much money as I typically would on it, then it's different. With trucking, it's way different than that because you have the cost to operate the truck. If that stays high, but the rates are staying low, then guess what happens? You end up getting screwed, especially if you got to pay drivers more because that's just the cost to operate a truck, you know? Everyone, I think, what was it? I always said it's a driver's market. Drivers can go out and get jobs anywhere they are, anywhere they want right now. And which is probably true, they can. But the thing that's funny about it is, I just read an article saying that I forgot who reported it, but they were saying that the beginning of 2020 looks like it's definitely going to be a shipper's market. Which, I mean, it's a shipper's market right now. Look at the rates. I personally I've quoted a customer, you know, 6 months ago. He moved a load, not 6 months ago, but, you know, I've quoted customers in the past, you know, a couple of months ago when the rates were a bit better and said, hey, yeah, it's going to be $3,700, whatever the rate is. And then they call back today and I look at the rates and the rates are $3,000 for the same lane. I have to cut my rate so I can stay competitive. I can't go back and say 37 and call the carrier that pulled it for me way back then and say, hey, listen, you did this load for me for 36. I'm going to pay you the same amount. As brokers, we go off of what the market says. So if the market rate is a certain market rate, then we will make money. Now, if you're as a broker who has like dedicated freight or you bid on an RFP, you're locked into those rates. So if you can't cover it for what you said you're going to cover it because the rates have gone up or down, and that's almost the same thing I do as a volume broker. You know, granted, my stuff isn't RFQ or RFP stuff, but I'm stuck at making a certain percent of a margin. I don't make more than that, and I typically don't make much less. If I have to take a zero on a load in terms of profit, I can because I know I've made money on the margin side of things. But again, I'm not a trucking company. I have no overhead. So I'm able to go lower than what a trucking company could even offer to move the same freight. It's just how it is. It's how it is. I know I went off on a tangent there, but let me get caught up in these comments. Ryan Max and more team drivers. I think I addressed that before. Maria, I'm not mentioning that on the air. Katya said, running a team now, need a load from Greenville, South Carolina for today. you should be able to find one because you are now a broker and a trucking company owner. Fran said, I kept spelling Swift but couldn't make it update letters. Yeah, it's not Swift. Mike said, what do you think is harder, being a broker or trying to hire other brokers to work for you as sub-agents? Being a broker, probably. You know, the reason I hire sub-agents is it's good and it also allows me, you know, the reason why I have sub-agents is for the long run picture. Granted, does it take a lot of effort and training and all that? Yeah. But the reason why I decided to bring on sub-agents is because I like the sales side of things. I like going after new clients. I like nurturing new business and trying to get the bigger accounts. I know what I can cover a day. I can't happily, if that makes sense, I can't happily cover 20, 30, 40 loads a day myself. I can't do it as a broker, no matter what kind of back office we have. But what I could do is say, okay, go after those big accounts that I want to go after, because I know there's going to be revenue, and then divvy them up between locations by, you know, sub-agents, my sub-agents. So I'm still making money off it. They're making money. Everyone's happy. That's a long-term goal, which is why I did it the way I did. It's a lot easier to be a sub-agent or an agent under somebody instead of becoming a broker, just for cost and the setup and the resources that are required to actually get started as a broker and maintain, meaning carrier payables and all that stuff. Because if you don't have the receivable or if you don't have the money to actually float the startup, then you're screwed anyway, especially if you've got a factor or something. I mean, granted, you could still do it and you can choose a good company like OTR Capital, the best factoring company in the world, and partner with them. But still, your margins are going to have to be high. And when rates are so low as it is now, your margin has to be low. And if you're factoring on top of your profit, then your margins are going to be higher, or you're just going to take that initial hit on your profit to get the business, grow the company until you can cut ties with factoring, which no one wants to do. But that's so just a really long-winded answer. I think it's way easier to be a sub-agent. Health, that's why I'm a sub-agent I'm a freight agent for a big broker, because I don't have the overhead. I don't have to worry about setting up carriers. I don't have to worry about, you know, setting up credit. I don't have to worry about any of that shit. It's all taken care of as me as a broker right now because I'm a sub-agent. That's why I do it. Mike said, I have the same hat you have on. Mine doesn't fit right. I don't even wear it. I hope your hat is better than mine. You know, it's not really. I actually had to rip it because it's very tight on my head. You see this? But the part, I normally keep my hair cut pretty short, and I was on vacation. Not vacation. I was lifting weights, so I didn't have time to cut my hair yet, so I just put on a hat instead. I have a different one, but it's my gym hat. So I have this one, and then I have a gray one that I always wear. Same brands, though. All right, what else we got here? Mike said, oh, wait, you already did that. You said, do you work with carriers that have a new authority, say, less than 6 months? Absolutely. That was one of my pre-qualifiers to even come on with the company I'm with now, because I would not work with a company that limits that. Because there's too many good carriers that are just starting out. Why am I going to say, no, you got to have 6 months? I understand the reasoning behind it, but I also understanding having the power of being with a big company. We're going to do our due diligence and check a carrier and make sure they can run. We have the ability to do fuel advances, although in my office we don't do them. But there's different different steps that we take to protect ourselves. But yeah, 100%. I'm going to, because there's two reasons. One, I want carriers to succeed. I want them to do well. And secondly, because they got drive, man. If they say they're going to be on time, they're going to be on time. They haven't been soured by the industry yet. You know what I mean? For the most part, a lot of these guys are out there. Sure, you're going to get rates because they don't know what the hell they're rating. So they'll go out there and say, yeah, I'll do that, you know, 800 mile run for $3,200, you know, for a drive in or something. So you're going to have to figure out the rates. But yeah, 100%. I'll work with a carrier for 2 hours after his authority goes active. Not really a day, but whatever. Right, Lane said, how long is a contract? I don't know what you mean. For the phone, I think it's 2 years, 3 years, something like that. So, Microlithic said, how many toll minutes for 1990? I think it's $200. Or 100 minutes or something a month, I think. But you also get a free local number. So if you're in, you know, Florida, if you're where I am, you'll get a free 772 number. Well, you pay, that's part of the user, but you get that free number and unlimited phone calls on that. It's just, if you're using the 800 call, it's the same way with mine. If I think I only get like 1,000 free minutes, you know, based on how many lines I have for the toll free line, but we don't even use it. I don't even know what the hell it is, to be honest. You don't really need one anymore, but I'll have all the stuff on the phone. Later, just go to Freight Broker Live. I'll try to put it up tonight at some point. I'll be honest, I haven't drank. I'm drinking tonight while I'm watching live PD, but I'm gonna get the website stuff in order too. So, and no, I'm not making a video when I'm drinking. That was a bad idea last time. But I'll get that up there, and you can see I'll have all that stuff because it is a great deal on the phones. It's way better than I could get. So it pisses me off, you know, because I can't get the same deal. So. But Mike Jamie said, how do you lose customers you ship for and have no idea how it happened? I ship with the customers regularly, and then they say they don't have any more shipments when I ask if they're working on anything. Well, there's two ways. One, they either just don't have any more customers and they're having the same downturn. And that's why you need to know your customer. You need to know what seasons they're having and all that stuff. I have a customer that's, you know, went through and they went from 40 or 50 shipments a day to like three. Or four, and then they just started coming back up. So now I think today they're at like 18, which is good because they're not busy either. Hold on. But now they're at like 18. Sorry, I tried to mute the mic when I drink the water, but I do have a video. I haven't made sound for it. So I have a 22-minute OTR promo, a 22-second OTR promo video that I'm going to start playing. But I didn't put any sound on it, so it wouldn't do any good now. But yeah, in terms of losing customers, you have to know the season to know if your customer is actually giving freight away. Another way I check too is I look on the boards. If I'm really hard up on a customer, or they keep, you know, they send a load list out to me, and I try to cover one, and then it's gone, or they say, oh, the load's gone, because I don't really accept loads without either. I don't accept loads unless I'm quoting them and know I'm going to cover the load. Or if it's a new customer and I'm unable to cover it, I'll give it back. You know, and I know a lot of other people that watch these videos that have their own little clans or whatever you want to call it, cults of followers. They'll say, oh, you never give a load back. Well, that's, yeah, I mean, you don't own a brokerage. So how are you going to say you never give a load back when you can't even, you're not a broker? But I've given a load back several times. You know, I had a load I took. I had a carry fell off, gave the load back. Said, screw it, it's too low of a rate, I'm not going to get it covered again. Within 8 minutes of giving the load back, I get another carry for it. Got that load, he just never even showed up to pick up. Gave the load back again to customer. And you know what the customer said? Nothing. I cover a shit ton of freight for him. He didn't care. But if I've had customers too where, you know, they've called me an a-hole because, you know, I quoted a load, misquoted it, my fault. I got a price difference, didn't really feel there was much potential for that customer to ship. There's no way for me to cover the load at cost, meaning I would have lost money on the load and not knowing if I'm going to get any more business from him. Damn right, I'm giving the load back. I'm not taking a loss on a customer that I can't recoup that from. You know, that's just my thing. So with all that said, if a customer is actively shipping, you're not seeing their stuff on other load boards to know they're giving it away to somebody else, you then go to the customer. Because I've also had the same thing where the customer starts shipping out stuff to other brokers all the time. And where it becomes I have to compete more and my rates are suffering even more because I have to compete with people. I've straight up told them, listen, I can't do this anymore, guys. Like, or just cut off communication, stop working with them, you know? But ultimately, if you have customers that are just not shipping with you anymore and you have no idea why, then you did something wrong as a salesperson, because you should have saw the downturn in freight. You should have been able to understand what you were doing wrong, if you were doing anything to cause it, or you would have already asked that customer, hey, what did I do wrong? Why am I not shipping anything? What do you got? You know what I mean? If they say, oh, I don't have any, they're not working on anything, they don't have anything, we'll say, who's covering it? Well, you know, or is it just downtime? You should already know the answers to those kind of questions. And I know that's a direct answer, but that's what it is. Steve said, you're giving out CDLs at Candy. Yeah, they are. And they're getting caught for it too. Right lane said, isn't quarter one always a shipper's market? See, me personally, when I was a carrier and a broker, everyone's done well up until like February. So half of quarter one. So the end of February is where rates really start tanking. March, they tank. Well, I guess that's the last part of quarter one. And then they start coming up again in April, May. This year they didn't, but that's how it's always been for me. So, but, yeah. First capacity, does sub-agent program teach us? I'm not talking about the sub-agent program because this next batch is probably the last batch I'm doing for a while. So, and that one starts on Monday. Ezekiel said, you say you're a volume-based broker. What does that mean? Well, so I cover freight at a lower margin. So I'm happy with a $20, $30 margin, which could mean that's $10, 0.2, 0.3, 0.4%. You know, all these carriers are out there saying, oh, brokers make 15, 16, 17, 18%, 30, 50, 100. They make 200 times what we make. It's not necessarily the right way. For me personally, as long as I am making money, I'll cover a load. So if I move a load for $2,000, meaning it cost me $2,000, I'll go and tell the customer, all right, well, there. I don't know what just happened there, but I'm back. So as I was going to say, let me go back because this whole thing forwarded right up. So volume-based. So I move freight at a much lower profit margin than most other people, but I move a ton of freight. And the reason I do that is because I'm given a lot more freight because I charge less than what some of the other brokers work with. For example, that load that I took from TQL, TQL went back to the customer. They offered him $1,700 originally. They went back and asked for, $1,000 more when they couldn't cover it. I had originally quoted him under what TQL had quoted. So, you know what I mean? And the reason I do that is because I know I'm going to make more money off him in the long run, off of future shipments. I'm not there just to make a big profit off one or two loads. It's just, it's never been the way I do business. And what it allows me to do is, one, either pay the carrier more and keep the customer happy so they keep giving me more freight. That's why I do it as much as I can. And I end up covering a lot more freight. So where a broker is happy, you know, moving four or five loads a day at a $200 or $300 profit per day, you can think about how quickly that adds up. I just do it a smaller amount. I don't know who this is either, so I'm not answering it. But yeah, that's what I mean by volume broker. Adam said, how do outbound tender percentages work with and benefit a broker when quoting lanes? I don't know, dude. I don't pay attention to that shit because I think those are all big brokers. They're not taking us little guys into effect. You know what I mean? And maybe FreightWaves, if you guys are watching this later and you want to give me an explanation on how that actually works so I can reference it, it'd be cool to snap, you know, stuff in here and talk about that. I don't know. I signed up for Sonar a while ago and, you know, had it for a little bit and I didn't have time to actually figure it out because of the type of work I was doing. But I'm guessing that's, you know, the amount of auto tenders, EDI tenders that are sent out to a carrier that aren't accepted. So how that relates in terms of little brokers and little carriers, I don't know. And I could find out in like 5 minutes if I looked it up. I just don't care to. I don't hold those things in a high regard because I don't really understand them. I'm more of a traditional guy for right now. I mean, that's going to have to change eventually. So Steve said, unfortunately, shippers might take you much more. Or no, Ezekiel said to Steve, when you look like a successful businessman. No, I think people take me more. If I walk into a shipper wearing this, you know, say a pair of jeans, a sweatshirt and a t-shirt and a hat, maybe if the hat said, you know, who I work for or something like that. That's just, especially now in the current events, like it used to be you couldn't go anywhere with tattoos. You'd be looked down. Oh, you have facial hair and you're a salesperson? Oh shit, you're not getting our work. Times change. You don't need to be all dressy. You don't need to wear a suit and tie when you're walking into customers. I had customers fly in, I'm wearing, you know, shorts. You know, when I flew down to Florida to do my job interview, I was wearing shorts and a polo shirt to have the job interview. And they moved us down here. What, you know, before, you know, I don't work there anymore, but you know, that's one of the misconceptions is that you need to be all buttoned up. You need to be clean. You know, it's the same thing when people say they, you know, truck drivers get out and they got, you know, see-through fishnet tank tops and, you know, tight booty shorts and a pair of sandals that look like they've been on the feet of 5,000 people. Yeah, you're not going to get work that way. But as long as you look presentable and kempt, you're fine. You don't need to wear suits and ties and all that stuff. It's not going to give you a leg up. And that kind of business isn't who this is catered for anyway. If you're going to sit in a boardroom to make a pitch on your services, it's a much bigger account than you're going to be able to handle with your little independent freight brokerage. Mike Jamie said he hears a lot about cheap freight. Isn't the majority of freight move cheap freight based by pure volume? Seems like the majority of shipments are cheap freight or cheap commodity freight. High paying freight shipments are a lot less often. So high paying loads are rare. No. The cheap freight thing is like, it's hard. Cheap, what people are calling cheap freight are people that are calling a carrier or a customer that's not paying a lot or a broker that doesn't pay a lot. A lot of times the carrier assumes that it's a broker that's trying to make more money. So therefore they're offering cheap freight. That's not really how it is. The customer knows typically what they want to pay or the broker is trying to be greedy and try to make too much money. But a carrier is perceiving cheap freight as anything that's less than what they're, or what it should be is anything less than what their cost to operate is. I think there's cheap broker or cheap carriers out there too. And I think there are also dumb carriers out there. The guys that are out there saying, I only run my truck for $4 a mile. That's because you don't have any, you're not smart. You know what I mean? If your cost to operate are close to $4 a mile, then I get that. But, you know, more expensive freight, obviously it costs more to ship. You know what I mean? So and you've been a broker for a while. So I'm not sure if this is what kind of question this is, but. So you hear a lot of cheap freight. Isn't the majority of freight move cheap freight based on pure volume? No. I mean, and think about it. You guys, we're, as freight brokers and carriers, all you guys out there, we're only seeing like 10% of the freight volume, the freight that's moving. The other 90% never even hits a board. Probably 5% is dealt with direct broker to carrier stuff, so it's not hitting the board. And the rest of it's all like RFP, RFQ freight that's moving at a volume, at a huge amount. That's what it is. So when you see, when we're looking at market rates and we're looking at stuff that's moving based on what DAT and Truckstop are paying and what, you know, brokers like Convoy or Uber are paying, that's all spot market stuff. No matter how anyone words it, any of these companies like Uber and Convoy, they're just figuring out a new innovative approach to work on the market, the spot market. That's what it is. You know what I mean? So cheap freight to me is just anything that pays less than the cost to operate. It doesn't matter what the volume is. If you have a load of televisions that's worth $250,000 and they're moving it cheap as shit, trying to get someone to take it, that's cheap freight. You know what I mean? Or if you have a broker that's out there and he is getting paid, say, I don't know, you know, $5 a mile for it, and he goes out and offers it for $1.25 because he can get it covered. That's cheap freight. And that's what all these guys are saying, you know, bump the dock or whatever, stay on the dock, you know, don't haul cheap freight, no cheap freight, say no to cheap freight, all the fancy hand motions that they do in the cameras. Some of them are people that shouldn't even be talking about it, but that's a thing for another day. But don't haul it. Don't offer, you know, if you're, I've, as a broker, I've gone to customers a million times and said, listen, I can't do that. I can't move it. Can't do it. Can't touch it. I have no shame in doing that. I love it, actually. Because I post out my daily loads of cheap freight bullshit. And it's not cheap. It's just what the customer is paying. It's because what they bid into to their customer when they're actually shipping the stuff and getting the price for their material, they quote stuff based off of 30-day previous shipping quotes. So unfortunately, even when rates come up, their rates are still going down because they're going 30 days before. They don't listen to me, even though I told them. I've worked with them for a long time. They don't pay attention to it, but it is what it is. But yeah, that's it. Franz, blah, blah, blah. I froze. Report stream. Yeah. I'm back now. You said, okay, I understand. I think your model is spot on. Your approach to grow the slow organic way is the only right way for longevity. Yeah. I mean, it's you don't go after, as a freight broker, anyone that's new to it, same with carriers. If you're new, you don't go after these large. Don't walk up to Pepsi and try to go get the account. Don't go into, you know, Walmart, you know, as a, I don't know, because Walmart's their own. You just don't go to those big customers trying to get those big accounts. You're not going to be able to do it. If you're an owner-operator, could you get one lane? Yeah, maybe. Is that going to be beneficial to you? One lane, one outbound lane, coming back, whatever. I don't know. It's just that. Oh, boy. Ezekiel said, smart, build trust with carriers and keep customer happy. Bravo. Exactly. Microlithic said, did my internet die? Yes, it did. I was here the whole time. I didn't freeze. You guys all froze. Ezekiel said, smart, build. I already read that. Blah, blah, blah. Right lane. All right, so I'll read the rest of these in a second. Here's something I forgot to mention, you guys. Now, this is very important. I have a patron. So I do gift cards every single month. And our next gift card giveaway is on the 10th. And I do it at 6 p.m. every single day. Or every single 10th. And I give away a $100 gift card, a $50 gift card, and a $75 gift card. Now, because I've been gone and because I've been doing everything else, I forgot to put it up there. So if you guys want to sign up for that, go over to freightbrokerlive.com. Click on the support Freight Broker Live and you become a patron. So I have finished the first four Freight in 5 videos and I am just doing the final editing on them. And then they will be up there. And they're all on topics. They're on detention. They are on, I don't even remember what the hell they're on. But I made those while I was on vacation. So those will probably go up by the end of the week. And as I said, they're going to be released to the people on Patreon first. And then I'll put them on YouTube after that. And then link them around. So if you haven't already, go over to freightbrokerlive.com. Click on the upper left-hand corner. You'll see it says, what's it say? Become a supporter, whatever, support Freight Broker Live. And then click on the patron tab and you can sign up to be a patron. We have different perk levels. You can get coffee cups and t-shirts and all that kind of crap. And what it does, it goes to support me, support this and the venture and what we do. I know one person said, how dare I say that, how dare I have a patron when I'm just, you know, make these videos and do all this stuff. And they sent me a private message and said all that and that I should be ashamed. And I said, well, what do you want me to do? I could just go and say, oh, this my whole group is sponsored by this company and do all that crap. That's not what I want to do. I want to keep free. That's why you don't see many partnerships or sponsors or any of that stuff. You know what I mean? Anything that I recommend is stuff I use, like RingCentral. Just so you guys don't think I'm bullshitting you. I can't do it without dragging it out. You can see there. You can zoom in later. See, I use a RingCentral phone system every day. All the sub-agents understand that. And I've used every single phone system out there. I am not joking. 1&1, Vonage, Google. I've used all of them. And the reason why I switched back to RingCentral is because it's the best phone system I use. And that's why I use it. And you guys all with your Patreon. Ha, ha, ha. But yeah, you can go there and sign up. And anyone who enters from now until the 9th will be included in the gift card giveaway on the 10th because I forgot to mention it pretty much all of last month. So that's something too. Anyone who signs up between now and the 9th, because it'll automatically tell me when you signed up, will be included in that gift card giveaway. There's people that I guess were on it that their things didn't go through. So you guys are all going to be booted off of the Patreon before I start putting all the live stuff up because I have to. And then we'll go there. All right. Next thing to talk about. Let's go back to some of these questions. Right Lane said, Ezekiel, don't you think carriers will continue to fall out of the industry, lowering capacity? No, I don't. I mean, that wasn't for me, but no, that's not going to happen. Because in all reality, more drivers are going to keep starting. No matter how bad it is, there's still going to be drivers, coming on every single day. And as well, there should. It's everyone trying to make their destiny. Like a bunch of people can get on and bad and say, and brokers can get on and say, oh, it's so hard to get direct customers. It's so hard to do this. But then you have people like me that are actually able to do it. And you have people like, Mike that are able to, he's out here struggling, making a living, and he's making a living. You got people like Right Lane that do whatever Right Lane does. He should go left because he's the right lane. See what I did there? You got Franz, who's a joker. I guess he gets paid to tell really bad jokes. But you have people that work in the industry that are small and that are good. It's me, I'm good at this. And that's why I decided to make these videos, because I think it's helpful and I think it helps people to hear about it. And that's the thing is someone's going to watch it and say, you know what? I watch your videos. I really want to take the leap. I've had people say that. I had someone the other day that said, hey, I watch your videos. I just need help with a couple of things. I've already gone and filed for my authority. I'm ready. I'm game. I'm ready to do this. And those are people that they have every right to get in the industry. So I think when capacity is going to shrink, I don't. I think, I don't know, man. That's such a hard forecast to do, to be honest. Capacity is only going to shrink when when people start getting fed up and actually leave at masses, when all the ELD guys can actually get their crap together and protest and do something right. You know what I mean? When the California AB5 thing goes nationwide and it limits all the lease ops. But then again, they're leased onto somebody, so that's just going to oversaturate the market of people that think they deserve more money than what the expenses are. And there's all sorts of different things. I don't see capacity changing yet, which is why I think they're starting to forecast a really bad first early 2020. Because we have an abundance of capacity, so rates aren't going up. I don't need to pay a carrier more if I can get them a different one to do it for less. And that's how I'm able to maintain my customer as well. So it's because otherwise I'm going to lose the business to someone else who does it for cheaper, just as carriers are doing it every day. But yeah. Defamation, not nice. Ha RingCentral lets you call everywhere. Except like out of the country. I think you get North America and Mexico free. And like I said, RingCentral, because again, I try to make these videos not very promotional. So I'm going to make a fancy like 20 segment. I'm having one made for OTR. So I have a 20 segment, 20 second one for OTR. I have a 20 second one for RingCentral. And then the links will all be on my site. OTR, you can already sign up for OTR. I know a bunch of you guys already have, but RingCentral, it'll be up there tonight. I'll have as much as I can. The only thing I say is, do it through my form. They don't have any tracking or anything like that. So if you go directly, for one, you're not going to get the deal because they're not advertising it. It's only for us. But it's a great one. So, yes, absolutely. Fran said, would I pay more to keep a good carrier? Absolutely. If I had a carrier that I knew was reliable and on time all the time, yes, I would go back to a customer and 100% say, hey, you know that carrier that did a great job every single time they ever did a load for you? Oh, yeah, I like them. Well, they need more money to do their freight. And I would 100% do it, or I'd take a loss if I couldn't go back to the customer and say, not a loss, but I'd take less money. You know what I mean? Depending on what the situation is. But yeah, you always have to pay more. How dare I say patron? Well, whatever. Pay Etron, pay Ytron, whatever. I don't care. If you guys want to win a gift card, if you guys want to win gift cards, go there and sign up. And you don't have to, and you don't have to do a certain amount either. Even if you do $1, you're still entered into it. And they're real gift cards. They're not fake. Ask the people that won last month, because they commented on the videos too, which was super awesome to let everyone know they're real. All right, guys. I think that's it. I gotta find out where the stupid Landstar Raycon is, because I still don't have it back. And then I need to go to the gym. All right. Stay tuned. I will be putting out a couple of articles this weekend. Actually, a lot of articles this weekend. And I will be putting up the thing for the RingCentral. I'll be doing a whole bunch of stuff, guys. I really appreciate the support. I appreciate all the well wishes and everything that I got over the time when I was gone at the competition. I really appreciate it. And even the people that were like, you need to make a video today, which it's still cool. I get it. You like hearing my voice, which is awesome. If you are watching this on YouTube, please make sure you like, subscribe, hit a bell, you know, scream it out from your window, watch Freight Broker Live on TV, something like that. If you're watching this on Facebook, make sure you like, subscribe, do whatever the hell you do on Facebook. And then if you're watching this on LinkedIn, someone tell me how I can stream live to LinkedIn, because I filled out their application like six times and they're never answering me. But all right, guys, bye.